Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emunah. So great to be together as always to work out our Emunah muscles and the way in which we see the world. As always, we begin with our attitude of gratitude. Tremendous thanks to our dear friends, Avi and Bella Morgan, who sponsored our series in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Shanzer. May Hashem watch over all of our soldiers. Also, our series is co-sponsored anonymously in memory of 30 fallen soldiers and alumni of B'nai David, the Mechina and Yeshiva in Eli, Rav Sadan, incredible place. They lost 30 soldiers. This week we're highlighting Moshe Yedidya Leiter, Hashem Yikom Damo, 39, fell in combat, November 2023 in northern Gaza. He was married and a father of six. Served 15 years in an IAF commando unit. He was a platoon commander, paramedic, medical student, trained Haredim for integration into the elite intelligence unit. Is a huge, huge loss. Also, this morning's shiur in particular, sponsored by Lisa and Ari Keenan, Aviva and Michael Wolgan, in honor of the milestone birthdays of their parents, David and Maxine Wolgan, our longtime beloved members. A very happy birthday to them. Should be healthy and happy for many years to come. And this morning, I'm sponsoring shiur also in honor of the birth of my granddaughter, who I couldn't be more excited. Her name is, drum roll please, Kayla Emunah. I am calling her Emunah. I've been asking my kids to name a grandchild Emunah Shira, like Emunah Shir. How great would it be to have a grandchild named for the Emunah Shir? Emunah Shir. So Kayla Emunah, and we're so excited and happy and blessed, beyond blessed. And we bless all those who are waiting and longing. They should hold beautiful children in their arms. And that's why Yocheved's not here this morning. Live shout out. She's listening. She just sent me a picture with Kayla Emunah, or Emunah as I like to call her, listening to the Emunah Shir. So Emunah, this is dedicated for you. And also a shameless plug. Even if you don't ordinarily get Mishpacha magazine, you must get it this week. There's an extraordinary article by your Rebbetzin. Yocheved has an amazing article from Boca to Bushtuna, The Long Journey Home. You'll want to read it. It's in this week's Mishpacha. I don't get any royalties from Mishpacha magazine. I'm not telling you to subscribe. I'm just telling you to get this week's because it's an article you want to see. Let's start with an Emunah story that wasn't an email, but it came yesterday. Baruch Hashem, our family was here. We had a lot of simcha. We feel so blessed. Bli Ayin Hara. Everybody's lives should be showered with weekends like we had, filled with simcha. So my children were heading back yesterday in different directions. One was going to PBI to catch their flight to New York. There was an accident on the highway and they were running late. And they were a little panicked, understandably so, watching the clock tick. And I don't know if they appreciate it or not. I just send the sticker, embrace your place, and I send the picture. But it turns out that their Uber driver davened at a Chabad and was really excited to be taking them, and went out of his way to weave through traffic and try alternate routes to be able to get them there to make their flight. And my son-in-law sent me a screenshot how they exchanged numbers and stayed in touch. Maybe they'll learn together on the phone, this Uber driver. And you press Uber and you don't know. It just searches for drivers in your area. And we think that the Uber algorithm is random. Who will be the driver assigned to you? But it's not Uber assigning the driver. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is the one who assigns the right driver for you. And it could be the driver that drives really slowly and you miss your flight. And that's also assigned from Hashem. And it could be also the Uber driver who is the best driver, who goes out of his way and gets you there. And either way, Baruch Hashem, they made it. It was incredible. And shout out to the Uber driver. Lastly, our learning this morning is for a refuah shleima, complete, speedy, painless recovery. My dear friend, Michal Yona Ben Leia, underwent serious surgery, and he should bounce back quickly. He deserves it with his family. Only enormous simcha. We love him, and we're wishing him well and thinking about him this morning. Okay, a few emails. So the first email comes from someone who had emailed previously, and the previous email was about their IVF and their egg retrievals and the frustration, the pain, and the where is Hashem, and how could it be while waiting? And then they followed it up with this email, literally this morning. Rabbi Goldberg, I've been meaning to write this email for a few months now. Every week I listen. Today I will write an email, and life sometimes just gets in the way. You mentioned a few weeks ago people sometimes always write when something's tough. They forget to share when what you were praying for finally happened. I wanted to share that, please God, will be expecting a baby in the next week or so. I just reread the email I sent you in February. And I cannot believe how much time has passed and how many more blessings were shown to us since. One of the chapters in the book that one day in my life or afterward will come out one of the chapters should be the back-to-back emails. The people who wrote one email, woe is me and where is God and how could this be and why, who later sent a second email, not everybody does, and we daven that they can, who say, it's turned around and let me tell you what I learned and what I gained and how I grew from that process of what I was so in pain about. So this is one of those. I just want to share with you what transpired leading up to the second round of treatments, which looking back were just huge hugs from Hashem. I started another round, and usually you get tested and go to the doctor every few weeks to determine when the transfer can happen. It happened to be that we had to do it sooner rather than later in the cycle. The night before we had to go in, we had a Chanukah Sabayis for our new home that we had moved into a month before. We invited a lot of friends and it was really beautiful. We had a mezuzah on the front door when we moved in, so we ended up putting some others around the house for the blessing with 10 men present. One of the men was a father. I asked him if he could take some of the old mezuzahs down that were left from the other family who lived here because we never ended up changing them. He said, of course. I had a feeling when we moved in that the mezuzah that was on my son's room was not kosher. And we said we would change it, but never did. When he took down the mezuzah, I asked him to open the cloth and see if there was something wrong with it. He saw the word, Levanecha, children, was pasul. I couldn't believe it. We changed the mezuzah to one that was kosher, and the next day I went for the transfer. And that was the one that worked. It was like all the events up to then were signs and hugs from Hashem showing us he's doing all the no's. It was very emotional. We found out in Shushan Purim, we're expecting, and since then we've been so grateful to Hashem and said, now it's your turn and bestow this blessing on us. It's really true. Mashana makom, mashana mazal. The word mazal, makom, zman, lashon were so apparent and true and transpiring for all these events to happen and really make us thankful and grateful. Thank you for the class. Yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. God willing, we'll share news of a new baby. Please, God. Nirtz Hashem, amen, very soon. Now, I want to be clear about something. It's an amazing story, and I'm so glad that she wrote. And B'sha'a Tova, please follow up with the email. I can't wait. I got an email yesterday. You just have to go on this ADD tour with me for 1 second. I got an email yesterday. I'm not making fun. I'm saying I struggle with that. I got an email yesterday from someone that said, last year I donated to the Biras Global Campaign in the merit of my niece that she should get married. Just want to tell you, she just got engaged. Mazel tov. To which I wrote back, don't forget to donate to this year's global campaign in the merit that. But anyway, we've got a new segula. Someone wants to get married, have children, you got to donate to the BRS global campaign. It's very clear from that email. We have a new segula. We'll take out ads in newspapers, send in the name with the donation, and it's now a new segula. Okay, back to the regular schedule program. It's a great email, and I'm so happy she followed up. And B'sha'a Tova, what incredible news. Is it because the mezuzah was puzzled with that word that she wasn't having children? I struggle for that. Do we have makoros, we have sources, that a mezuzah is protective, is spiritual, is holy? Absolutely. We go out of our way to ensure we have kosher mezuzahs, we have mehudar mezuzahs, we have excellent mezuzahs. We should go out of our way to do that. But I stop short of connecting dots, and I'll tell you why. You know, when many years ago, in between our second and third children, my wife had a stillbirth. And it was a boy. We went on to have 6 girls before our son, who had his bar mitzvah this past Shabbos, but it was a stillbirth. It was obviously a very painful, very difficult time. I'm not raising it for you to feel bad. We are beyond blessed, beyond, beyond, beyond. We were moving right around that time, and we took down our mezuzahs and had found that the mezuzah on the front door, the case was there, that there was no mezuzah in it. The bottom piece had come off. The mezuzah had fallen out. We never even saw it. Maybe someone stole it. There was no mezuzah. And someone I shared it with reacted, oh, now we know why. Like, there was no mezuzah, and that's why, the stillbirth. I spoke to great rabbis who agreed with me or validated my feeling. I don't want to believe in a God who people who did nothing wrong and don't deserve it and had no way to know and couldn't have avoided it, but a mezuzah fell out without their knowing it. Or the mezuzah had a psul without their knowing it. That God would make them go through such pain for that. I want to believe in Hashem. There's meaning, there's reason, there's purpose. Either we deserve or it's nothing we did wrong, but we need to learn from it. It's for our best and our good. But this notion, so I'm so appreciative. I don't want to sound like I'm not appreciative or I'm disagreeing with the email. For sure, there's something in it and there's something to feel. And it's an amazing story that it turns out that just that day and the next day the transfer, and it worked. That was the one that worked. And mazel tov and b'sha'a tova, and it's fantastic. And chalila, I don't want to take away from the story whatsoever. But I also don't want anyone to ever feel like, oh, if my mezuzah was puzzle, that's why I did this, I deserve this, it's my fault. So when it comes to those associations, I tread very lightly, and I try to be very careful, but we couldn't be more excited for this good news. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, hope you had a beautiful chag. We're in Eretz Yisrael where esrogs are easy to come by with lots of opportunities to purchase. My newly bar mitzvah was an eye for nice things, was looking forward to choosing a beautiful esrog. My husband had gone ahead and purchased a set with what was known as a closed box esrog, which means you can pre-pick your esrog based on look. It's a random box selection based on level. Kosher, kosher, mahudr, mahudr, mahudr. My husband ordered my son a kosher mahudr. When he opened the box, he was so disappointed. He said it was an ugly esrog. He then tried convincing my husband to buy him a new esrog. They came to an agreement. If they would learn a certain daf gemara together, my husband would partially pay for a new esrog, and my son would contribute from his bar mitzvah money. That night he came home and he found the most beautiful yellow Moroccan esrog with a green gartel and a pitum. He was so happy. The next day he was so excited to show me, he ran up to his room to bring it down, opened the box. As he removed the esrog, the pitum fell off, rendering the esrog unusable. This sounds like an Agnon story, like a shy Agnon story. He started crying and crying, real hard, meaningful tears. I didn't know what to do. I let him have his moment and I said, and then he said, why did Hashem do this to me? Doesn't he want me to do the mitzvah? It was a living with emunah moment for my son. We talked about nice stories that happened or things that didn't go our way, but this was a real and raw. I said, I understand you're disappointed, but what hashkacha? What if tomorrow on Chag during Hoshanas it would have fallen off? What would you have done? These are the moments that make you big. Hashem is giving you an opportunity to still get another esrog. Took him a few moments, he heard it. Off he went for his third esrog. Baruch Hashem, he found one. It turned out the box esrog that he first received, the Rav said, was not mahudr, not even kosher. The place he brought it had to give my son a refund, which he used to fund the third esrog, which was beautiful. As we were setting the table for Chag, my son placed the esrog without the pitum as a centerpiece on our table, as a reminder of his living with Emunah story. And anyone who came into our sukkah asked me to retell the story. Why is there an esrog without a pitum as the centerpiece? So what a beautiful thing. The image, this 13-year-old boy who's living with Emunah, you got to embrace what happens and not know why, and it became the centerpiece, the centerpiece. Now on sukkahs, those are very expensive centerpieces. After Sukkot, that makes for a great inexpensive centerpiece, the esrog. Okay, next. I have to tell you a funny story. I was trying to wake up my 8th grade daughter one school morning, a challenge every single day. She wasn't budging, so I stayed in her room cleaning up while calling out to her. I decided I might as well hear some emunah as I cleaned. And I like when she hears it too, even in her sleep. So I turned on one of your shiurim. Suddenly a head pops up from under the blanket and a sleepy voice says, did you hear what your emunah person just said? You are where you're meant to be. I'm in bed. I'm meant to be in bed. Then her head went straight down under the covers. It was hilarious. I'm glad I could be defending the 8th grade girls to sleep in. I am where I'm meant to be with the covers back over her head. But I like it. I'm the Emunah person. Did you hear what your Emunah person just said? Anyway, that was a great email. Last email, last week we spoke all about the poetry reading contest and Kapitel Chav Gimel, Psalm 23. Hashem ro'i lo echsar. Hashem, you're my shepherd. Not let me not lack. Because you're my shepherd, I have everything I need. But let me never be lacking in knowing that you're my shepherd. Someone heard the shiur last week and sent me. They live in Sydney, Australia. And they were walking on the street behind this guy who was wearing a jersey. And his jersey was number 23. And instead of having a name on the back of his jersey, it says Psalm 23. This is his jersey. Psalm 23. That is his jersey. I don't know who this guy is, but he's living with Emunah. Showing off his guns, but he's living with Emunah. Walking around. He doesn't have a name on his jersey. What does he have? The number 23, Michael Jordan, and Psalm 23. Not Jordan, but Psalm 23. Incredible, we got more, but let's get back to our text. And I have good news for you. Somebody heard our shiur last week. Somebody who sponsored Rav David Avuchatzer's original Shari Tefillah and sent 75 copies are coming to the shul. So everyone's going to get their own copy of the Sefer that we're learning. You can underline, mark it up. I don't believe this one's translated or appears in English yet. One of the benefits of coming in person. Yesterday at the Parsha Shir, we had a giveaway for those who come in person. And Munah Shir come in person. I know if you don't live here, you can't fly in every week. I mean, why not? You can, but you can't fly in every week. But we've got to motivate and reward our local community, our offline world who come in person as well. We're on page Kuf Chafei, 125. There are extra copies if you want to be looking inside. So far, we learned Emunah Bashem very counterintuitively and somewhat paradoxically that faith in Hashem is something that we daven for. We daven for faith in Hashem, which is bizarre. The very thing that we're missing is knowing that there's Hashem. And what's the answer? Ask Hashem to help us know that there's Hashem. It sounds paradoxical and it sounds peculiar and it sounds like it makes no sense, but it's exactly how it works. Hashem ro'i lo achzer. Hashem, as I go through my life, when I'm scrambling and weaving and making my way to Palm Beach International Airport to catch a flight, when I'm waiting for a retrieval and a transfer, and please God, the good news of a b'sha'a tov, a healthy baby, let me lo achzer, let me never be lacking in knowing you're my shepherd. As we spoke about last week, to not just talk or learn about the shepherd, but to come to know and feel the shepherd. To talk to the shepherd and to hear the shepherd talking to us and to feel the love of the shepherd. You know, the Altar of Kelm points out that Moshe Rabbeinu is chosen as the quintessential permanent leader of our people. That's his last name, Moshe. And what's his last name? Rabbeinu, our teacher forever. That wasn't his last name. I don't think he wrote that in his driver's license application, but that's the name that we call him, the appellation that he carries. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's our teacher forever. How did he earn that spot? Why did God assign him that mission? Represent me, demand of Paro, take the people out, transmit and teach the Torah, and forever be associated, so much so that we call it Toras Moshe, the Torah of Moshe. What behavior did Moshe show? Was it that Moshe was the most brilliant mind? He was the most brilliant. Was it he was most humble? God himself testifies that Moshe is the most humble. Was it he had the longest Shemona Esrei? He was the most careful to only have the highest kashrus standards. What is it that Moshe did that earned him that place? And the Altar of Kelm says, you know what it was? Moshe Rabbeinu was nosei ba'olam chaveiro. He had the most sympathy and empathy. He cared the most for the people around him. This is not the time, but there are countless stories from the Torah that show that. But where did it all begin? The Altar of Kelm takes us to a medrash. Moshe's first job. How did he begin his career? He grew up in the palace, a prince. And when he comes out and intervenes to save somebody who's being unfairly abused, he has to flee. And where does he run? To Midian. And what does he do? What job does he get? He's a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu is a shepherd. Moshe Rabbeinu is a shepherd. He's a shepherd, and he cares for the sheep. And Hashem is watching. By the way, not only Moshe Rabbeinu, we just sat in the sukkah and welcomed our seven shepherds. Because our holiest teachers and leaders began their lives and careers and positions of leadership as shepherds. Because a shepherd has to be attentive and attuned to a sheep. A shepherd can't play on his phone, has to be watching, supervising, loving, caring, keeping all those sheep on the derech, on the path. They can't veer off on another path. Loving each one, caring, nurturing each one. Did you sleep? Did you eat? Have you had enough to drink from the river? Are you okay? So the Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, the shepherd, is tending to his flock, to his sheep and his ewes, and he's taking care of them, and one of the sheep wanders off and is drinking from a river, and everybody else is ready to move. There's always that sheep. I've led a lot of trips to Israel, missions of adults, children. There's always that sheep. Everyone's on the bus. Where is so-and-so? The bathroom, needed a drink, they got up late, they're lagging behind. There's always that sheep. Now, I'm not so kind, so my inclination is to say, we warned you, we're not waiting for everyone, we're not letting our schedule fall behind because of one straggler, we're out of here, take an Uber, take a taxi, meet us there. We don't do that, but I'm inclined to do that. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash describes, goes over to that little sheepala, and the Medrash paints this picture, this beautiful image. He puts the sheep around his neck, on his shoulders, and he carries this exhausted and tired sheep, and he gives the sheep to drink, to be able to the sheep reinvigorate and come back alive. And Moshe, and Hashem looks down and says, that's my man. That's my leader. That's my leader. What did he exhibit? That love, that care, that attentiveness. He refused to neglect. He refused to ignore even one sheep. He wouldn't move on. Care for everyone with what they need. And that's Hashem. He's our shepherd. That's how he loves us. It's not a coincidence. By the way, what's the root of the word ro'i? Resh Ayin also spells rea. What's a rea? A friend. A shepherd is the sheep's best friend. The shepherd is the sheep's best friend. And Hashem is our best friend. Yidid nefesh, av harachaman. The best friend of my nefesh is my Father in heaven. Yidid nefesh. My yidid nefesh, my best friend, my biggest confidant, the one who knows me and gets me and loves me unconditionally and gives me the benefit of the doubt and stands by my side, the best friend of my soul. The best friend of my body is charcuterie. The best friend of my body is a good steak. The best friend of my body is a nice wine. The best friend of my body is good sleep. My body has all kinds of friends. Some are good friends. Some pretend they're good friends, but they're bad friends. Some are outright bad friends. Body has all kinds of friends. Who and what is the best friend of your soul? We sing it every week at Chalashittas. Yedid nefesh, avarachaman. The best friend of my nefesh, of my soul, is my Father in heaven. It's my soul's best friend. Hashem ro'i, God, you're my shepherd and my best friend. And lo echsar, let me never be lacking or missing. Let me never not feel fully with clarity and confidence. You're my shepherd and you're my best friend. Lo echsar, let me never be lacking or missing the knowledge and feeling and faith that you are my best friend, that you are my best friend always. And then we continue the Zera Kodesh. Yitzchak davened lenochach ishto. What does that mean? Where do you put the comma? Ordinarily, previously we put the comma, vayetar Yitzchak l'ashem kama lenochach ishto. He davened to Hashem, standing opposite his wife, that Rivka conceived. But the Zera Kodesh, the Hilul Rabshutzer says, that's not what it means. Put the comma differently. Vayetar Yitzchak kama. And what did he daven? Hashem nochach ishto. Let my wife, no matter what she's going through, no matter how much pain she's in, no matter how long she's waiting, let her see Hashem opposite her always. I can't tell you how many emails I get. I haven't really read them so much that are filled with the questions of, I'm ready to give up. I've been waiting for a shidduch. I'm at whatever age. I've gone out countless times. I'm waiting for that child. I'm struggling with parnasa. I'm trying to overcome yet another illness, yet another surgery. And I want to clarify, last week I mentioned somebody who was taken on the incredible Hatzalah air. That was exactly reasonable. I was not using that as a case of unreasonable in the question and answer after shir. That person has gone through, he needs a refuah shlema, we daven for him too, he should have complete, speedy, healthy, my dear friend should bounce back and be fantastic. That trip he took was what was expected and demanded and reasonable, not the opposite, I just want to clarify. So a person can be going through such a difficult time and feel, I give up on you, I'm done with you, I'm walking away from you. I've turned to you, I've davened to you, I've surrendered to you, I've waited for you, and you're nowhere to be found, so I'm done. So we daven for that person two things. One, we daven for the person that their tefillah should be answered. Find that shidduch, have that baby, that parnasa, that refuah. But we also daven for that person that this process should not make them lose Hashem. Let them lean into Hashem instead of losing Hashem. Let them get closer to Hashem instead of further from Hashem. We see and we feel, like Moshe the shepherd, their pain. We see and we feel it with sympathy and empathy. And that should motivate and stimulate two tefillos in us. One, we daven they be answered. But also we add and daven, let them come close to Hashem. That could happen with our own children. Our own children could be going through a tough time. And we daven that it be resolved with friends and school and life. But also we should daven that through it they find Hashem, not lose Hashem. It's an incredible rupture. Vayatar Yitzchak kama Hashem nochach ishto. Yitzchak was davening, of course, that Rivka should get pregnant. Of course he was davening Rivka should have a baby. But he was also davening that Hashem nochach ishto. Hashem should always be opposite his wife. She should never lose Hashem. So we're in the middle of the top paragraph on the left column, page Kuf Chafei. Uvitfila so pa'al sheyuchal kol ish mizar b'nei Yisrael v'schazik ulahachzik atzmo be'emunas omen u'bevaday kasher mizchanein ha'adam ha'kach b'chol libo sheyizke lichyos b'tzel emunas Hashem. That we too can daven for emuna. It sounds like it makes no sense. I'm not sure if I believe in you. Let me daven that I believe in you. But who do we daven that I believe in you? I'm davening to you that I come to believe in you. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have to. It works. Turn to Hashem and ask him. Daven for emuna. Lachios chayim iloyim shal staklas moromemes bochotzad v'shal. Hashem, let me not only feel emuna when I'm saying the words of the Siddur Tehillim. Let me not only feel emuna when I'm in the Muna Shir. Let me not only feel emuna when I'm holding little baby emuna in my arms. But let me feel emuna when I'm in traffic, when it's not going my way, when it feels like it's a no, when I'm going through a hard time. Part of our tefillah every day should be, let me increase and grow and feel and see you everywhere I go. Sharim itztarefes tefilaso tefilas Yitzchak Avinu v'hu ha'mesayesh et tizkabal l'racham imu l'ratzon. To combine our tefillah with that of Yitzchak. to daven for others that Hashem is nochach, daven for others that they see Hashem, that Hashem is ever present in their life, and to daven for ourselves. I try to do this since we began the Emunah Shir, is to not just relegate the Emunah Shir to Wednesday mornings, and then the rest of the week, regular schedule program of no Emunah, but to live the Emunah Shir every minute of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of our lives. That everywhere we go and everything that we experience and all that we interpret and all that we see and all that we try to make sense of, that we do through the glasses and through the prism, through the perspective of Emunah. Hashem, I'm asking you, Hashem, for help. It's so hard. It's not easy. I mentioned the drush on Shabbos. The drush on Shabbos, my son's bar mitzvah, he would not let me speak about him. And a lot of people say that, but they mean speak about me. A lot of people, when they say, don't speak about me, what they mean is, don't forget to speak about me. You know, before the dinner, before the event, the chairman, the board. Don't, please, please, don't speak about me. Don't speak about me. Sometimes what that means is, don't forget to go on and on about me. But when my son said it, he meant it, if you could tell or saw his leaning, kishmo kachu, he's very shy, and he didn't want me. So I thought to myself, instead of speaking about him, I'm going to speak to him. Instead of describing the first 13 years, I also think it's time to pivot a little bit. Bear with me for one little rant. It's a beautiful thing, and it's reflective of the generation we're living, that we, and I do this now professionally, that when there's a bar mitzvah boy, we talk about him like he's God's gift to the earth, and he's lived 100 years, and he's changed the world, and we give him a logo, he's a franchise now, and there's a logo on the yarmulke, and he's amazing, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's what we need, it's what this generation needs. It's what this generation needs. But it used to be that a boy turned bar mitzvah, you poured some schnapps, ate some kichel, made a l'chaim, and said to the boy, you're a man, here's what's now expected of you. Step up, we need you. Here's what's now expected. So I decided to go old school, not with the scotch and kichel, unfortunately, it was a little more than that, but at least with my speech. And instead of talking about his first 13 years, I said, Shai, I want to tell you what we hope and dream for your next 107. And I told him six things, six values, six ideas, six things. There were at least 13, maybe 130, but neither he nor the room full of people with the attention span of a 13-year-old were ready for more. Maybe they weren't even ready for the six. So one of them was this, believe in Hashem. Emunah. They were all six things, believe in Hashem, believe in yourself, believe in Klal Yisrael. They were believe six things that you should believe in. So believe it. And what did I draw from? I draw from Rav Zedel Epstein, the Mashgiach of Torah Or, who says that Noach didn't go into the Teva until it began to rain. Why? Because Mekatne Emunah. He was somebody, he was a katan, he was small. I could never say it if Rashi didn't say it. Chazal didn't say it. He was somebody who was small and diminished in Emunah. Mamin ve'eno mamin. He believed what he didn't believe. And he didn't go into the Teva, the Ark, until it began to rain. And there's all interpretations. The famous Berditchever has an interpretation. He really didn't believe in himself. It wasn't Hashem. But Rav Zedel Epstein, the Mashgiach of Torah Or, says, you see that somebody on the outside can go through all the motions of looking like they're listening to Hashem, but on the inside there's no relationship with him. He writes, Rav Zedel Epstein, and he warns, you could go to shul, learn the daf yomi, give tzedakah, shake the lulav, sit in the sukkah, blow the shofar. On the outside, you're the perfect Jew. But do you have a relationship with Hashem? Are you talking to him? Are you hearing him talking to you? Do you turn to him in hard times? Do you fall and feel into his embrace? Are you living? Are you in conversation? Is your life one ongoing conversation with Hashem? Hashem, please let the shir go well. Thank you that the shir went well. I hope that the ride to the airport works out. I got to get to this wedding and meet the new kid. But the life is one long, ongoing conversation with Hashem. Before the things we have to do, after the things we have to do, even sometimes in our own head, during the things that we're doing. Life is what. So you see from here that Noach, who Hashem was talking to, and Noach was compliant. He did everything Hashem asked. On the outside, you could be doing it all. So many people, and the Jewish people on the outside, look like they're doing it all. But on the inside, they're empty. There is no relationship. There is no feeling. There is no awareness. There is no connection. They're talking. They're spending their lives talking about the shepherd. But they have yet to come spend time with the shepherd. Spend time with the shepherd. Talk to the shepherd. Be shepherded by the shepherd. That's what we're doing. And that's what Rav David Avuchatzira is suggesting, is one of the things we can and should daven for. We daven for our health, and we daven for our parnasa, and we daven for our family, we daven for our shalom bayit. Daven that we have the emunah. Hashem roi lo achsar. We got to get these jerseys. Psalm 23. That's our team on the front, living with emunah, team living with emunah. Who are the players? Psalm number 23. Now, starting for the Living with Emuna team, Psalm 23. Yay. We're gonna that's our team. Hashem roi lo echzar. Let me never be lacking in knowing that you're my friend, my best friend, and my shepherd. Best friend. We have best friends. BFF, DMC, all the lingo. 6-7, I don't even know what that means. That's the new one. All these lingo. I try to stay, you know, I'm young. So I try to stay young. So, I thought you were going to ask me to define what's a DMC, what's a BFF, what's a 6-7. So, BFF is the best friend forever. And the DMC is my deep, meaningful conversation. And the other one, I don't even know what it means, the numbers. I don't think anyone knows what it means, and supposedly that's the whole shtick of it. But, so, even our best friend, even the BFFs, I have a house, I lived with a lot of girls. There's a lot, even the BFFs with whom you have the greatest DMCs, there's a lot of drama. There could be a lot of drama. Because you told, and then they told the person they weren't supposed to tell, and then the thing, and you did. There's only one friend on the planet. There's only one friend in the world, in the universe. There's only one friend that whatever we say or reveal or confide, it is 100% confidential. That listens without judgment. That loves us and wants the best for us with zero ulterior motive possible. And that is the Yedid Nefesh Avarachaman, the absolute best friend of Hashem. Hashem Ro'i, Hashem, you are my shepherd. Ro'i means shepherd and friend. Hashem, you are my shepherd, my friend. Lo Echsar Chaser, let me never be lacking in knowing you're my shepherd. Again, the Chiddush of Rav David Abuchatzera is traditionally, this was understood to mean, Hashem, because you're my shepherd, Lo Echsar. I have everything I need. I have everything I need. You're my shepherd. Whatever I have is what I need. Comes Rav David Abuchatzera and he retouches it. And he says, no, what it means is, let me never be lacking that you're my shepherd. Lo echsar, that Hashem ro'i. And that's something that we have to daven for. We daven for just like Yitzchak did for Rivka. We do for ourselves and the people around us. It's a new machshava, a new kavana, a new thing to think about every day while we daven. And you could decide, do you want to say it in your shacharis? Is it what you want to think about when you light candles on Erev Shabbos? All the people in your life and daven for them that they have emunah, that Hashem is nochach, Hashem is opposite, they see him, they feel him, they love him. And for ourselves, each and every day, daven. Hashem, whatever I'm going through, whatever's happening in my life, let me feel, let me know, let me have clarity and confidence that none of it is random and none of it's chance, none of it's accidental, and none of it's coincidence. It's all carefully curated and choreographed from you above. It's hard to feel that. It's hard to know that. It's hard sometimes to accept that and to live that. And that's why we have to daven for it. Because there's nothing good that happens without davening. So we think, why do I have to daven for Emunah? I have Emunah. Go to the Emunah Shira, I get Emunah emails, I buy the Emunah books, not mine, others. There's so much about Emunah. It's really in to have Emunah right now. It's really in. It's really in to talk about having Emunah. I hope it's as in to have Emunah. It's very in to talk about having Emunah. I hope it's as much as in to have the Emunah. Have the Emunah in those moments. It's really hard. It's really hard when the things don't go our way. And I have some of those emails I didn't read that include some of that. So that's our tefillah. So you'd say, why do I have to daven? I have Emunah. The answer is, you never have enough. If it's not growing, it's getting smaller. If it's not getting stronger, it's getting weaker and it's atrophying. Person has to always be increasing and elevating to see him more, talk to him more, feel him more, love him more, know that he's there more. That's the reason and purpose for this all. All of Yiddishkeit, all Torah and mitzvahs, all of halacha are a platform for a relationship with Hashem. There are so many people who are doing all the motions, but on the inside it's empty. We have to not just talk about we also have to talk about the shepherd. Because the shepherd wants us to avoid 39 categories of creative labor every Shabbos. Shepherd wants to make us a bracha before we drink and eat. Shepherd wants us to talk about him also. But the whole point is not just to talk about a shepherd without knowing him, is to better come to know him. And we need to do that in our homes, in our schools and yeshivas, in our community, in our shuls. We need to just not talk about the shepherd. We need to talk to the shepherd and hear the shepherd talking to us. I know it's early, but I have to end today. I have to head to the airport, Baruch Hashem, I have a wedding tonight. I'm going to meet little Emunah, Kayla Emunah, who I call Emunah. Mirt Hashem, all of us, our lives. We should be successful in davening and asking for more Emunah for ourselves and the people around us. We should be successful in the Nochach Ishto, which by the way, Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Tamid. It's exactly what David Melech also says. Shivisi Hashem, let Hashem be opposite with me always. Opposite with me always. We should be successful in Zocha, that we see Hashem opposite us always, feel Him in our lives everywhere we go. He should answer our tefillos for the good. Everyone's lives should only be overflowing with simcha and bracha locally, and you should have to travel and fly to enjoy it and see it. And we should report to each other good news, especially those who've shared some of the challenges and hardship, should be able to write in and tell us about the simchas, should only add and come. Thank you so much. We'll pick up with the question and answer, Amir Tz Hashem, next week.